Title for my message is Hope for Humanity. Of course, that was brought on by the trial that we're going through. Because, you know, when it extends and extends and continues and continues and continues for months and months at a time, the old saying, you grow well and well-doing, weary and well-doing. It's a trial, and we're looking forward to the Father to extend His healing powers and the magnificent glory will definitely go to Him. Because anytime something's lasting like this is, you yearn for help and answered prayer. And when it does come, because you've extended all and exhausted all possibilities, which I think we should do, because He works in mysterious ways. So do what you can. And in the end, the glory's going to go to Him. There's no other way for it to be done. And try to tell you guys so you know that she's ongoing, she's enduring, she's being sustained, or she would already be gone within a matter of a few weeks after this process started. But she's not. And she knows that she's being sustained, and she's been sustained for a reason. And that reason is to magnify our Father's glory. And it will be done. So, with all that being said, and we'll get started on this, I want to read you a section, small section from a book that I read some time back. And it made a great impact on Vicki and I both, and I thought it worth sharing. This is starting a quote from the book. Sorry, I don't know the title of it. It's been a long time. From the Sudan to Ethiopia, and from northern Mexico to Argentina, we see the darkest images of human suffering. In Latin America and in the Caribbean, we find nations such as Nicaragua, Haiti, where the per capita income is a misery level of $330 a year. Not a week, not a month, per year, $330 at the time I read this book. In Guatemala, which has had its share of revolutions and trouble, people living in garbage dumps, literally, competing with the vultures to get just a refuse of spoiled food. In Guatemala City, the writer said, I saw people stand in lines for hours in boiling hot sun at a city dump just to get a bag of rice and beans that was being handed out. This is life below a sustainable level. Below anything that we've ever seen before in our entire life. The mayor of Guatemala City, he said, told me later that if his citizens just moved from misery to poverty, it would be a great improvement. Peru and South American nations are being savaged by cholera at this very moment, he said. Cholera being called the disease of the poor. The people contract it by eating fish from polluted water or by washing their clothes and drawing the drinking water from garbage-laden rivers and streams. That's precisely how the Black Death started in Europe in the 14th century. There's hardly a single place in South America where water is safe to drink. In Egypt, the water is so absolutely filthy, full of liver slugs and amoeba, that people are wasted by intestinal disease and dysentery. This and other diseases that breed in the rivers and the streams and the dump sites spread contagion, which is infectious transmission from one to another, throughout the land and just sap the life out of the people. Some natives who have developed some tolerance to the condition may live for years with this disease, while infecting foreigners die within days. The children succumb quickly to dysentery. They are totally dehydrated by it. He said, I've been told that just a little bit of sugar water from a pure source can keep a child alive. But the natives have been told to give the children formulas mixed with local drinking water, and the water is so bad that it's killing the children by the hundreds. End of the quote of that book. So we should really count our blessings, as bad as it is. Fast forward to now. We now see war looming on our horizon, on our borders, overseas. China and Russia threaten to war on our land. The Middle East is facing destruction. The major powers are headed to a possible World War III. Economic collapse is on the horizon due to possible cutoff of the supplies of oil and the avenues by which we can transport the sea being cut off. We see hundreds of ships with nuclear capabilities cruising our international waters, capabilities 10 times greater than they have ever been used before, even with a bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. Sadly, we have men ready to push the button. I watched a newscast on the line the other night, and there was four heads of state companies or countries meeting to discuss this peace effort. All of them carried a satchel. The satchel contained in it a red button that they can remotely set off a nuclear device. First one that opened the satchel up and pushed that button, the rest of them pushed theirs. That's going on today. They're meeting with the intent of war right on the horizon. They're ready to push the button. Brethren, I think sometimes we think about these people in foreign countries and we think they're just not quite like us. They don't really feel pain like I do. But they're created in the Father's image, just like you and I. They feel pain. Vicky cramps terrible in her stomach right after she eats. I mean, to the point of bending over and can't walk, can't get up and walk. Has to bend over and lean over when she's sitting on the couch and try to get that cramping to settle down. Well, they have cramps in their stomachs too. They have the headaches and the health problems, just like she's having and all of us have. Getting sick, throwing up, fever, just as we do. But we tend to live in our little 50 miles. That's proven fact. We think about our little 50 miles. And as long as everything's going good in our little 50 miles, we really don't connect with what's really going on in the world. They love their children just as we do. But the difference is, they see their calamity as there is no hope. They see no hope. Because they do not see an end to their pain or the circumstances that they're in. And that's, Vicky often cries on my shoulder. And she says, when is it going to end? When is this going to end? I'm so tired of pain, you know. And that's really hurtful to me to witness. And they watch their children die many times before they're even to the age of two. I'm sure Seth can connect with that seriously. And we all can because I've raised four of them. I would hate to have lost those at the age of two. The only difference between them and us is they were born there and we were born here. That's the only difference. They had no choice, as neither did we, as to where we're born. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves when we find ourselves in different uncomfortable situations. And I fall in that category, frankly. And we do not have any idea how blessed that we really are to live in an area of the world that we live in. This kind of brings it into reality. Much less that we know the Father's truth and the path that leads to salvation. A tremendous blessing that we have as people of God. And the fact that there is tremendous hope for mankind. We know about that tremendous hope for mankind. We have the chances as so-called called out ones to be in the bride, soon to be married to our Savior. A chosen bride for a worthy son of the Father. That's you and I's future. We have to endure. We have to stay the race. We can't give up. And if we endure to the end and don't blow it by our attitudes and our unthankfulness and not recognizing the great blessing that we have been given from our loving and merciful Father, then we will succeed in becoming part of that bride. Recognizing we are blessed because of the promise of Abraham. That's what it's from. Brethren, we're blessed above all things, and we're learning more truth all the time. We have to. We have to continue to go forward. We can't stagnate. We can't stand still. Or it's like you're in a big, swifting stream. You try to stand still, and you go down. You go backwards. You have to be moving forward. We don't want to stagnate. Continue to grow. Continue to learn. Don't close your mind to things. Search them out. Prove them. Yay or nay. One way or the other. But move forward. Precious truth. How to change and become that very bride of our Father. His Son. What an opportunity that is. Do we realize that? Do we realize that that opportunity is before us? Then we should be praying daily for that opportunity, thanking our Father for it. When I read this of what was going on in our world as we speak, I know why the Father has told us to pray every day, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. This whole world is locked in the grip of Satan. He hates mankind so much that he wants to destroy us all. He's attacking us, especially if you're the called out. Nothing more would he like to do than destroy you. Just like he's tried to destroy Moses. He's tried to destroy our Savior by killing everyone in that age group. Surely I'll get him if I could kill everyone in that age group. That's what he was after. And he's after you guys, after me, after people that know the truth. He hates mankind, and he wants to destroy us all, and he's doing a really good job overall in most of the third world countries, and is now in an all-out attack, as you see every day, on America. I got to where I will not watch regular mainstream news. They don't report the real things that are going on, so you have to get it somewhere else. And you can. With all that's going on in our country, you must agree that the attack is on. You must agree that he must surely believe, Satan, that he has but a short time. And he's pulling out all stops. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. We desperately need the kingdom to come. We desperately need it to come quickly. It's the only hope for mankind. My wife received a letter a while back, and it expressed the same utter hopelessness of the world. I'd like to read that to you, as it's quite sobering in content. Quote, I wake up each morning, this is the person that wrote the letter, and I wonder why life goes on the way it does. My life never changes. Everyone around me is different. My kids are so sad and they're unhappy. My husband and I can hardly get by day by day mentally. I guess I just don't know how to get over being angry. This lady had just lost her second daughter in 13 years. She went on to say, "I want to scream at everyone. I want to scream at God. I just do not know why, if he's so loving, why would he take another one of my children?" She's lost 3 so far. "Prayer does nothing to ease my pain. I really hate living. I do believe," she said, "God gave us a promise of eternity after death, so we would have the courage and the will to go on, but I also think God's kingdom will never really happen. It only happens in our mind." And that's due to the fact that people feel like Vicky does. It just goes on and on and on. But God's time is not our time. "The song I told you about," she said, that she had told my wife, "seems to sum up my feelings. Why does life go on?" And the other one, "Stop the world and let me off. I'm so tired of spinning round and round. Get it off my shoulders and make the world go away." End of quote. This is how some people feel in this crazy world we live in today. They do not have any hope, they feel. But we're blessed, brethren, to know that there is hope. This is why we have to go on and help usher in the kingdom. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. There will be a remnant to carry on in this final time of the end. Turn with you, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 20, "And it shall come to pass in that day," any time, I've told you before, when it says in that day, it is in the end time. That's what it's referring to, in that day, "that the remnant of Israel and such that have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them." We're being defeated right now as a nation, "but will depend on the Eternal, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant," we know as being a remnant is 10%, "of them will return, and destruction and decree shall overflow with righteousness. For the Eternal of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land." So he's going to make a determined end to all this confusion that we're going through as a nation, as a world, right now today, and seems to worsen at every turn of the head. He promises he will bring it to an end. Our time frame is not his time frame. And it's hard to accept that. Just like with Vicky. His time frame for her is not my time frame. I would that I'd go home and she'd say, "You know, I just don't have any pain anymore." That'd just be absolutely magnificent. And I'd call every one of you. I would. I'd get that phone list out, buddy, and it'd be burning up. Because I yearn for that. And I know it's coming. I got one guy in here that assures me of that every time I talk to him. He assures me that time's coming. So I got a lady right here that does the very same thing. I value them highly. They really encourage me. We must take seriously, brethren. Seriously, is if I can pick a word that's better. We must take seriously the calling and the choosing of that remnant group, and just pray and strive to be part of it. Make that your endeavor. That's your goal in life, to be part of that group. We cannot fail. We must succeed. For all the miserable human existing in this world today, for a better way. The remnant, that 10%, will return, as we read. When he says it, it's as good as it's done. Absolute, as James said. Turn to Isaiah 9, just back a page. Isaiah 9, start verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government, which is power, will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his power, government, and peace, there will be no end. How wonderful is that going to be? In facing what we face today, can you picture that? I can't picture a time when there's going to be peace. In individual families, you know, I've seen it. And in mine, to a certain extent, at different times through my 57 years of marriage, hadn't been peace all the time, I'll tell you. I dare say it hadn't been peace for all you guys either. But it's certainly not peace in the nation. So it's very hard to understand that comment. But he says there will be no end. No end to the peace. Once it gets established, that's it. It'll never come back. Upon the throne of David, no end. And over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. An absolute total promise. Want to know what his will is? That was his will right there. That's what he wills. And his will be done. The whole world is poised for war in the Middle East. The world is poised for war, and we can do nothing about it except pray. Pray that we can get through it. Pray that we can endure. Pray that we can keep our mind on the gold. Thy kingdom come. Pray that our Father sends his Son soon to stop all this madness that's going on. This generation that we have that's accepting transgendering and teaching little kids with made-up men as women, and give it just a few years, what are we going to have? Can you even imagine what we'll have from this madness that's going on? There won't be any children born because this one's identifying as this and this one's identifying as a cat. This thinks he's a dog and he needs to go to a veterinarian when he needs to get medical care. I read that. What in the world? You know, he says as it was in the days of Noah. And then we think about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then we think about the Tower of Babel. And this is going to be worse. I can't imagine. We can't hide our heads in the sand, brother, and say it cannot happen here, because it can and it will and it is. We just had a short time to experience the Feast of Tabernacles. We all attended. Wonderful time. First year in 63 years that me and my wife didn't get to go. That was really hard. I really missed that. But it was unavoidable. You just don't know what it is until you've kept it and looked forward to it for 63 years. And you can't go. Talk about feeling alone when all your church family's gone. It's like, did a rapture take place? They gone? You know, and It's really, really sad. Zechariah 14:16, we all know that by heart. Brethren, that day's coming. Everybody's going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Therefore, they're going to keep the Holy Days. That's coming. I don't understand why, if they people read that verse, they don't understand that they need to be keeping those days. They're going to be kept then. Do they suddenly just become okay then? They're not okay now? I don't get it. But when you read that, and you see the conditions of the world today, you realize thy kingdom come. I pray that every day as we see the time approaching. We need to be doing that. So let's live this feast every day this coming year. The feast that you just observed. Until our Father brings it all, all of it, to all mankind. And He's going to do that. And hopefully we'll be part of the teachers at that time and be the ones that will be teaching these people and showing them that there is a better way. Because they're going to come out of a world that's, you think it's bad now? Let me tell you, before the millennium starts, it's going to be bad. And those people that come through that are fortunate enough to, blessed enough, if you want to say that, to live through that terrible time and go into that time of the millennium. They're going to be ready to listen. I can guarantee you. They'll be ready to listen. And it seems so strange to me that you have to make them, he has to put them through that to more or less convince them that they need to listen to something that's going to be so much better. But it's just like the sermon I heard, and I think I've mentioned this to you before. In Wisconsin Dells one year at the feast, can't remember who gave that. But he was trying to explain what it's going to be like in the millennium, in the world tomorrow, and on into the, after the, it's over and 1,000 years is done. And he said, it's kind of like a fly. He's got this fly. And you go up to this fly, and he's sitting there on this right here. You go up to him and say, Mr. Fly. Yeah. You could have so much better. You could have a swimming pool and a nice home like I have and be driving a Mercedes and have this great job and all the money you want to spend for anything you want. All you got to do is apply yourself. He says, oh, the fly says, no, no, no. You don't understand. Big garbage pile. Big garbage pile. That's good as it gets. But you see, that's all he knows. And those people that we read about in the beginning of this on that in that book, that's all those people know. You know, the best it gets for them is to have a good meal, to have a good clean drink of water, things we take for granted. Me, you're talking to Bill here. Every day, we take those things for granted. It's just hard when you're in a society that is very blessed to think about people that are every day living that kind of life. It's you know, we went to Acapulco one year. From the airport to the Acapulco Plaza was probably about 15 miles, say. We were going, I believe that would have been north, and on the west side of the road was the ocean. From the road to the ocean was a strip of land, probably 400 yards, maybe 500 yards wide. Manicured. I mean, beautiful. So beautiful. Just a literal paradise. On the right-hand side of the road, it was a total nightmare. That big of a contrast. It was cardboard. I'm not saying flimsy wood-built homes. Cardboard homes that they were living in a tropical climate. And here we're riding in a limousine. It really made me feel really bad. I didn't enjoy that trip because all I could think about was those people on the right-hand side of that road and the absolute poverty that they were experiencing. Most of them worked at those big resorts. But it made me tip a little better, I tell you, and try to give a little bit more to those people because that's all they had. They don't understand what we have. I mean, you could be the poorest American there is, and you're the richest in the world to those people. So it really makes you pray, brethren, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to play a song for you to wind this up. I want you to listen to the words. Pay attention to what this guy's singing. It's absolutely beautiful. The title of the song is "He Will Come and Save You" by Don Moen and Paul Wilbur.